Hi, it's Megan Segura.
And Eric J. Mack.
And this is the Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So we have a lot to go through today.
Yeah, we need to talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey because, wow, Vanderpump Rules. And then later we're going to talk to John Thrasher, who is co-host of Martinis and Murder podcast. Also our friend,
and he's a huge fan of Real Housewives of Atlanta, so he's here to help us break down that Tokyo bus ride.
Oh, love a good bus ride.
Plus, we actually have a sneak peek at the Below Deck reunion, and we have an interview with Real Housewives of Atlanta's Tanya Sam.
Yes. And as always, we'll end things with our rose and thorn. But first, you wanted to talk about something.
We have an emergency word on the street segment because Andy Cohen celebrated his baby shower this past weekend, and it was epic.
It was insane.
I mean, so many people I saw on social media being like, this is my Super Bowl. You know, people were so thrilled. And I don't think even we knew the caliber that it was going to be. You know, like we knew it was happening.
Kyle Richards was hosting.
Right. Yeah. Some of the OGs were throwing it. So like, great. Wonderful. Sounds cute and intimate. No way. It was a huge party.
It was insanity. And you know what's so funny? Crystal, our friend and coworker, brought up a really good point, which she was said that it was giving her anxiety because, you know, the president and the vice president should really never be in the same room. God forbid something happened. She was like, what if something happened and all of our favorite Bravo Lebs are in one room together?
That's so true. I mean, it really was like an all-star cast. I mean, all of the OGs were there. Vicky, Nene, Teresa, Ramona. I mean, Kyle, like you had mentioned. And then a lot of some of the newcomers. Eva was there from Real Housewives of Atlanta. We saw the Dallas ladies. Yep. I mean, it's true. Like, that is the one room that you want to be in, but you also want that room to be safe.
Right. I think also we were kind of trying to figure out who wasn't there.
Right. There was a lot of investigative work going on Twitter, on Instagram, being like, who's missing? And a lot of people were missing, you know, some of the kind of major players. Lisa Vanderpump, but she was opening her restaurant in Vegas. She's out there working. Bethany couldn't make it. Luann as well. But, you know, I mean, everyone was sending their love from a distance.
Yes.
We also had some cameos from, we know Andy's friends with John Mayer. We saw Jerry O'Connell and his wife Rebecca Romaine there.
And Jenny Poulos.
Jenny Poulos, she did a death drop in one video. And I wish I had seen it from a different angle because I couldn't see the whole thing. But there was a death drop. So like we said, it was a huge party. I'm sure you guys have all seen everything on Instagram already. But my favorite part was Lisa Rinna on the tables. And Kyle Richards, to be fair.
Yeah, but I feel like Lisa Rinna is who you want emceeing all your major life events going forward.
Absolutely. I mean, I can, like, she's got her line on QVC, so I understand how she's already a good salesperson because she was there screaming for everyone, get on the tables, you better dance, Andy Cohen pays your bills, you better celebrate him.
Go now, you bitches. Go. Get up on a table and dance for Andy now,
you fuckers.
I mean, if Lisa Rinna told me to do that, I would do that 100%. I would do that regardless.
I love when Kyle, you know, who's wearing this beautiful white suit, shows what it looked like at the end of the night, and it was just like covered in red wine stains.
It looked like someone had thrown red wine on her, which at a Housewives event could very well be the case, but was not. She just was having a party, celebrating. Wine got everywhere. She had like chocolate smeared on like one part of her coat too.
Please, what on earth happened to my suit? And I was gonna go out like this, and my husband was like, you are not going anywhere looking like this.
That's why you can't wear white to a party like that.
I'm just so mad I wasn't there to witness it.
I know, absolutely. I mean, we also got a little bit of Cynthia's twerking.
Oh,
which,
right.
You know, it's kind of been a topic of conversation this season on Atlanta. She might not be the best at it, but
you know who's great at it? Ashley from Real Housewives of Potomac.
I was afraid you were going to say Vicky.
No!
I was going to be like, no, we saw that too, and that wasn't so good.
No, I saw Ashley dancing in one part. I was like, oh my goodness.
Oh my God, well, good for her. And not only that, but Kyle did her classic split.
But did she do the ponytail helicopter?
I don't think we got a helicopter. We should have gotten a helicopter.
She loves a ponytail helicopter.
And she loves a split.
So the Below Deck season has ended, sadly, but the reunion is coming, which is basically just what I wait for all season anyway. And we got some messages from the My Sienna crew.
Let's hear them.
Hi, Eric, Megan, the Daily Dish Podcast. This is Captain Lee speaking.
This is Ross, your bison.
This is Laura from Below Deck.
This is Riley. One word to describe this season would be drama.
One word to describe this reunion is epic.
One word's never enough. This crew is probably the most competent crew that we've had, and I really liked all of them.
Two words to describe this reunion, you boy.
Probably more drama.
I just had a ball with all of them, and the ones that made it through to the end are the ones that should have made it through to the end.
Thank you so much for watching all season long, and thank you so much for your support. I appreciate it.
You guys need to check yourself.
Thanks for watching, and we'll see you at the reunion.
Oh my God, Laura's saying check yourself.
I'm so glad she did that. I was afraid she'd be like, no.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to say that.
Well, y'all can check yourselves on Tuesday at 9, 8 Central, because that's when the reunion starts.
Okay, I really want to talk about The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
I mean, wow.
Wow, 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 wow.
All right, so where do we begin? Do we go right to the end of the episode, the confrontation?
I would like to.
Let's go right for it.
What happened?
You know, I really just think Margaret can't take any more from Danielle.
Yeah. I mean, it is uncomfortable. I mean, I feel like females can be very vicious in that way where it's just like, I can't just let us not be friends. I have to ruin your life.
Right. Well, and Danielle kind of broke that, like, housewives golden rule is, like, don't talk about the kids. And that's what set Margaret off. I mean, she would not have been probably throwing wine at her if it hadn't been for Danielle really going, like, hard on her.
And Melissa freaking told her, do not do it. And she still did it.
Here, I just thought I was getting a nice necklace and it's turned into this huge, big thing.
The cocktail only enables me courage
You say stupid shit.
I mean, listen,
so what's Margaret's
at the end of the
excuse?
Day, it's going
Margaret's malicious.
So
you're not even listen, seeing that.
I don't think she's an evil person. I think that.
So why is she talking so much about me? She was just in my wedding.
You guys are both talking about each other. You guys are both.
No, I really wasn't. She hurt me so badly, and all I ever did was react towards her.
There's a reason her stepkids don't speak to her.
My children are always with me. Why aren't hers? I can tell you why. She's malicious.
Listen, we don't talk about kids. We're not f***ing talking about kids.
That's crossing the line. Don't go there with me.
If you're gonna talk about children, we're opening up another can of worms.
No, she opened it. I'll f***ing close it.
I'm just saying.
You're missing it, Melissa. I'm not. So beware. Just f***ing beware.
Danielle, you're pissing me off.
I never did anything to hurt you, Melissa.
She should shut the f*** up because I'll start believing what everybody tells me about her. Little bitch.
Oh, my God.
She still did it. I mean, it sort of was like, something was going to happen, whether it was Margaret reacting or whatever. I mean, Jennifer was like throwing back the tequila once again, and she was starting to get a little fired up. So whether I didn't know who was going to blow first, but
I know. But see, she was fine with Margaret at that dinner. She was over it
until Teresa brought it up again, being like, well, you said, you know, Teresa, we kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago, this sort of strange alliance that Danielle and Teresa have now, given their history. And Teresa's really just not seeing it from Margaret's perspective at all. So what is it, not only that Teresa sees in Danielle and wants to be friends with her again, but what is it she has against Margaret?
Right. I don't understand. Though, I mean, let's rewind a little bit, because at that lunch when Margaret brought out that you're saying to Jennifer, your husband has a mistress.
You know what, Margaret? You're used to an environment of cheating, all right? Your mother f***ed someone for 15 years. I get it, but some things should be kept secret.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And you know what? That's why your husband sleeps in the f***ing pool house.
My husband doesn't sleep in the f***ing pool house, honey. I'm secure in my marriage, so it doesn't bother me where the f*** he sleeps.
I know, whether it's in his girlfriend's bed or not.
You better shut the f*** up.
Word on the street.
You better shut the f*** up with that.
Hit a nerve.
What did you think? I mean, first of all, yes, totally crossing the line. I couldn't believe Jennifer's reaction.
I know. Well, that's the thing. And like a few minutes later, you know, Margaret was like, I'm sorry. I said that to hurt you. I shouldn't have done it. But it's kind of like I have that theory of like you don't overreact to something like that unless perhaps it triggers something in you, because maybe that's an insecurity that Jennifer has. You know, like, I think she is very traditional. Her marriage is very traditional. I think maybe, you know, she's talked in the past about her husband working a lot, and maybe it's something that she's always just kind of been afraid of, and it just hit her the wrong way.
Right. But so Melissa's reaction at the end of the episode.
I mean, I can't believe we got the to be continued, because I was like, yes, Melissa, go, Melissa. And then it's like, boom, to be continued. I was like, no, I need to see it.
You picked the wrong one.
I mean, I feel like Melissa's also at the end of her rope, because when they were shopping earlier in the day, and like Teresa and Jennifer and her, they were kind of getting into it. Or no, it was Teresa, Danielle, and Melissa. And they were just not seeing eye to eye. And I think Melissa's, you know, always had some kind of tension with Teresa. Then you get this situation now with Danielle. And Danielle's kind of just like making things up in a sense, you know, or just kind of turning everyone against Margaret.
Yeah.
And I think Melissa also hit her breaking point, too.
Okay. Also, just a random note. Why camels in Mexico?
I was confused by that, too.
It's odd, right?
And it doesn't seem like a very pleasant experience for anyone. Camels, I don't know. That was confusing to me, too. It seems like they could have just taken a nice stroll without the camels, and right. It probably would have been just as enjoyable, if not more. You know what else I wanted to bring up, too, and I think this was something none of us knew before, is Dolores talking about her eating disorder.
That was very surprising.
Somewhere in my mid-20s, I had a pretty bad eating disorder.
Oh, Jackie.
Jackie, I had an eating disorder and I didn't know it.
I didn't realize how thin I was. I'm going to show you a picture. And you're not going to believe it.
Wow.
Wow.
That looks nothing like Dolores, right?
I had gotten thin and I wanted to get thinner and I wanted to get thinner and I wanted to
That's
get thinner.
That's what happened.
At some point, it got out of hand and I didn't see it. My mom just started crying one day and I can't stand to see my mom hurt. That was a wake-up call that I needed help.
I mean, Jackie was kind of open about it very early in the season. She wanted to talk about it and share it with the girls early on and kind of get that message out there. So it's interesting that, you know, Dolores didn't really chime in back then and has kind of waited until, you know, at this point in the season to kind of talk about it. So maybe Jackie speaking out about it kind of helped her along the way.
Right.
And we saw the picture, too, and it was really devastating. I mean, it's like, I feel terrible for her, but it seems like she's really come out the other side, like Jackie, a much healthier and happier person.
Right.
Well, speaking of Dolores, too, I wanted to talk to you about when she kind of brings up to Teresa, like, well, when Joe gets out, like, do you think he's going to be different, or do you think he's going to be up to his same old shit?
And when he comes home, then we'll see how it is.
You're going to see, because the leopard doesn't always change his spots. He might be a little soft-spoken and humbled now. But let him get a little comfortable at home, Teresa.
So wait, what are you trying to say? He's going to go back to his old ways?
He's going to try. I think Joe took Teresa for granted a lot of times. He expects everything to be done. She takes care of the kids. She's got to go do... Nip it in the bud, Teresa, when he starts acting. He will still want the old Teresa. But once a woman gets to the point where she's at, she's not going back. Oh, hell no.
I really appreciated Dolores' honesty in that moment, because I truly think that you kind of shouldn't talk about your friend's husband, boyfriend, whatever, because it just never goes the right way. But Dolores feels confident enough in their relationship to be like, I saw the way he treated you, and you did everything for that family.
Right. If that had been Jackie bringing it up, I don't think it would have gone quite as well.
Oh, God.
But we did kind of hear Teresa talk pretty openly and candidly about, you know, how she does believe that Joe has changed, that, you know, she's kind of, it's the first time we really heard her talking about their post-prison life. I mean, it's interesting to hear, and I feel like it kind of almost became more real for me, too. You know, like, I think she's kind of been so focused on herself and her fitness, and like, that's a lot of the storyline we've seen this season. And now it's kind of starting to become more real. Like, oh yeah, like there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but what's on the other side?
Right.
So Teresa seems to be pretty confident that Joe has changed just based on what she's seen from him in prison. Do you think he's going to come out a different guy?
I don't know, right? Because, like, I've never been through such, like, a life-changing experience. But I think the thing that stuck out to me even more than that was Teresa saying she's not sure how she's going to be having him, like, kind of as her husband again. Because to live alone for, how much time, and then to have to go back to life as a couple and making those little compromises every single day.
Right. I think that's a good point too. And the only thing we can really speak to is the changes that we've seen in Teresa. And I think her time in prison changed her. And then, like you're saying, this life that she's had without him has also changed her. So how is that going to look when they try to rebuild their family? It could go really either way.
All right, so we need to talk about Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
And Eric, I'm so glad you're here to talk about it with me because you lived in LA.
Yes.
So you can answer my burning question. Is it really that annoying to go to Marina Del Rey?
What I will say is no, but it is inconvenient. And I think everyone was a little bit overreacting, and it's sort of like the same as like when you're here and you live in the city and you're like, oh, I can't go to Brooklyn, you know, like it's so far. Like, you can do it.
Right. But I've never packed snacks to go to Brooklyn.
Well, that was going to be my argument, is like, it's not far enough that you need road snacks, like, especially if you're going to a party that will likely be serving you some food. Like, it's not that far. And they were saying, even when they, I think it was like Tom and Ariana in the car or something, and they were like, oh my God, it says 30 minutes. And it's like, okay, that's not that bad.
Right.
And you know, the line in Clueless, everywhere in LA takes 20 minutes.
Yes.
And it's very true. It's just that there's always traffic.
Right.
So if there were just no cars in your way, it could take you really 20 minutes to get from West Hollywood to Marina Del Rey.
But that is not bad at all.
It's not bad. But with traffic, it's going to be a little bit longer. And you know people in LA, like, they don't want to go more than 20 minutes anywhere.
Oh, so annoying.
But she does have a really great apartment.
She does. And I mean, she looks at the boats every day.
Isn't that lovely?
Indoor, outdoor living space.
Right.
And she was serving Capri Suns at her party.
I was like, really? I got a kick out of that.
Ah, love a Capri Sun.
I know. It like made me want one.
Which, I mean, if you guys don't remember, it's something that like fans really teased her about, because she and Shay like had this home cooked meal one day and they were both sipping Capri Sun.
Right. I mean, it's nostalgic. So once you get to Sheena's house, everyone makes it to Marina Del Rey. There's a throwdown between Lala and Billy.
Did you come in here to talk to me or?
Yeah, it's a girls' night at my work. And I was like extremely upset, obviously. My whole life, I was not included in girl things. And to find out that my job is having something and a girls' night, it just was a huge trigger for me. And
there were a lot of people that were not included in that flyer. This is so trivial. The fact that you put it out there that people are transphobic when Lisa...
I never said the word transphobic.
Okay, don't beat around the bush with me. I'm not a
Hold
dummy.
On.
Just stop.
I never said the word
you
transphobic.
You also didn't squash it. You basically agreed
with
them.
Tons of people wrote stuff. You know what the first comment I saw when you guys posted it? Why is Billie Lee not involved? Is she not a real girl? That hurt me.
We didn't say that.
I didn't say transphobia, but you guys
I'm
are putting
not.
That
I'm
on
calling
me.
It how it is.
No,
I call a spade
you're not, you're
a spade.
Coming from a cis
you
point of
were
view.
Obsessed,
I'm coming from a trans
and
experience.
And that is it for me. You're dismissed.
Oh, so you're dismissed. You're not f***ing better than me, Lala. You got that? You're not better than everyone just because you have a f***ing rich boyfriend.
You're pathetic.
You're f***ing privileged. Stop calling me pathetic,
bitch. You're pathetic.
Bitch.
And the fact that you just took that to my man, Billy, you're a f***ing low-down hoe. You were not excluded on purpose. That was so f***ed up of you to do. You put it on social media, and now it's
all on social media. Every tab was on social media.
Jesus. I need a chill day, man.
You're being a f***ing psychopath.
Yeah, we knew they weren't getting along, and we knew the whole, you're not better than me, Lala.
So where in that fight do you stand?
Again, it's kind of what I said from the beginning. It's like neither are really, I actually think Billy was hearing what Lala said, but Lala wasn't hearing what Billy was saying.
Right. I think Ariana said it pretty perfectly when she was like, you know, no one's letting Billy express herself or just like validating her feelings and being like, I hear what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from, but like, here's what I think, you know, like it's not really being a conversation. It's kind of everyone's just like yelling at each other and not listening.
I was just taking one of those Myers-Briggs personality tests. And the question was true or false, you know, you care more about being right than making sure everyone's leaving feeling okay.
And you were like, true, all the way up.
But like, it is a good point. Like, do you care more about you being right? Or do you care more about someone not feeling shitty at the end of the conversation.
Right. I think I'm right in the middle of that sort of thing, you know?
I agree.
I want people to get along, and I don't want people to walk away. You always say, like, you shouldn't walk away mad, don't go to sleep mad, whatever it may be. But I'm a Taurus, and I'm stubborn. I do like being right.
Right.
That's my housewife's tagline. I hate to say I told you so, but I do love being right.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
So we have to talk about this Ariana and Lala situation. Mm-hmm. So Lala, when she was in the office for an interview, I asked about it because I had heard that this episode was coming down the pipeline. And just how you see her with Jax and Brittany, where she is so, like, she had a poker face. And I really didn't know what really happened or didn't. So that was, like, very funny to me to see how she did it, how she reacted with them. And it also made me think, God, Lala's a really good friend.
Tom Sandoval's okay. birthday today. He told us that he took it for a ride
yeah.
with you and Ariana.
Yeah.
And stuff happened.
Like what?
You and Ariana hooked up in the backseat of the car, and he was in there.
Me and Ariana hooked up in the back of it?
Yeah. You asked for Ariana to come in the back seat. And do stuff.
And no, I did not have Anytime sex with Ariana name. In the back. What the f*** is he talking about? Did this happen with Ariana and myself? Yes. Am I about to blow Ariana's spot up with Jax and Brittany right now? Hell no.
I was going to say, Lala's a really good actor. Because like she really was just like, no. You know, like I believed it for a second too.
But she even said to Ariana, if you had told me not to tell anyone, I would have gone to my grave with that secret. I was like, that is so sweet.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely like, I personally am glad that that information is out there because they are two beautiful ladies and I love sexual expression of all kinds. But Sandoval was pretty out of line the way he revealed that information to the guys. It was like they're all sitting around drinking and smoking cigars and I was just like, oh, really?
You've been in a relationship with a girl before.
Yes, okay, Tom. You told something that is not your business to tell without running it by the people who were really involved.
I was slightly annoyed that night because I was...
That's fine. Then tell me you're annoyed.
He seems like such a good boyfriend and so supportive. So it did make me upset that he had that misstep. And by the way, just so rolled my eyes when he was like, well, you guys were being annoying that night. You were both drunk. Can they live?
Right.
Just enjoy... that car ride.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He should have just been like, okay.
I was surprised, though, Ariana's reaction. Like, I was surprised that she's so closed off about it.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about that, too, because I thought it was really interesting in her interview when she was kind of talking about why she didn't really want it out there.
I've been with women in the past, and obviously I've been with men. I would rather not label things and just kind of... If you're attracted to somebody, you're attracted to them. And if you're not, you're not. And that person can be male, female, or anywhere in between.
And she made a good point about, like, you know, being bisexual. Like, as much as that is an absolute, like, form of sexual identity, there's still somewhat of a stigma around it. And I think a lot of people in the gay community and the straight community sort of, like, don't really always believe it, you know, like I think people want you to almost be one or the other, even to this day when, and it, you know, B is the LGBT, you know, so like bisexuality is a real thing. And I think she kind of just felt like, I don't feel like trying to explain it to everyone because yeah, I'm with Tom now and that I've been with women before, but like, I don't feel like I want to have to explain myself all the time. So I kind of got where she was coming from.
Right. And I mean, you shouldn't have to disclose who you've had sex with.
Right.
What did you think of Tom Tom now that we finally got to see it?
I love it. I think it's really, really cool. I'm really happy for the guys because they've been waiting so long. Sandoval, of course, cried. We knew he was going to. But actually seeing it like on camera and not just kind of in the pictures like I've seen most of it, I'm kind of like, yeah, I want to go there.
Well, as I have been there, it is even more gorgeous in person. Just so many like little details where I'm just like, Lisa Vanderpump is a master at what she does.
She really knows what to do. And I think she's really like totally monopolized that corner of West Hollywood in the best way possible. You know, like I think each place kind of has its own unique personality, but they're all like very similar and kind of have the same feeling. Like you can tell that they're all part of like something bigger, I feel like.
Okay, wait. So if Villa Blanca is where you take your wife. Sir is where you take your mistress. Pump is where you take your boyfriend. What are you taking to Tom Tom?
Your first Tinder date.
Ooh!
Or first Grindr date. It is West Hollywood, so who knows? But yeah, I'm excited. I want to go.
So, you know, there's only one thing I love more than a Bravo celebrity, and it's a Bravo fan. Because the Bravo fans get it. You guys have a lot of opinions, but here's the thing, we want to hear them.
So we have a survey. There's a link in the description. Basically, tell us what your favorite shows are. We want to know what you guys want to see. Is it early access to trailers before they come out? Do you want a phone call from Lisa Vanderpump? Check the link in our description. We have a survey in there, and you can give us your feedback.
Okay, we are here with a very special guest, the one, the only, John Thrasher.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Have you told everybody who I am yet?
No. I mean, we kind of did in the beginning. You have been on this podcast before.
Oh, that's right.
But
yeah.
It was ages ago. People probably need a reintroduction.
Mm.
Now, we know co-host of Martinis and Murder.
Yes.
Tell us about that podcast.
Well, I do it with Darren, who is Andy's assistant, and she is a handful, as you guys know. She will be on the show, I think, eventually, right? I think you guys have something booked with her.
Yeah, probably soon.
Yeah, everything's great. What should I say about the show? It's a family-friendly true crime podcast, and I say that as in it's not... no, it's not family friendly. Let's
I was
be
like,
honest.
What?
I was trying to make it
like
sound.
Not what I've heard.
It's not at all. You're right. Well, what I should say is it's not the sort of heavier type of true crime podcast. It's not gory. It's not dark. It's not deep. It can be gory, actually, at times. But it's not one of those things where you're going to take your headphones out and have nightmares. You know, we try to talk about true crime in a way that people can enjoy the genre without having nightmares later on. So, and also we just needed an excuse to drink at work, I think. So we were like, how can we put our minds together and do that? And that's where the podcast came from.
We should have had a martini waiting for you.
I know, you guys. What's going on over here? I should have brought some for you guys, actually.
That's true.
That would have been more appropriate.
I will say, though, I was a guest on a recent episode, and John and Darren had these craft cocktails in front of them, and then they're like, we ran out. Do you want a shot of whiskey?
Well, listen, that is definitely not my fault. We have a bartender, and Megan, who has helped producing in the back end on your show, is also on our show, and she's here today sitting right next to me, and she will attest to Matt's unprofessional... demeanor in the sense of not having a drink ready for you. That is not my responsibility on the show to provide drinks.
You're like, I am purely talent.
And I'm here to drink at the end of the story. But yeah, so that's Martinis and Murder pretty much.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you is you recently interviewed Deborah Newell, the real-life Deborah Newell from Dirty John.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I interviewed her and Laura Richardson, who is a criminal behavioral analyst who also appears in the Oxygen Dirty John, which is called Dirty John The Dirty Truth. It's a 2-hour documentary, so it's all the real people involved. Bravo obviously did the scripted show, which was amazing. But yeah, so Deborah came in, and it was like sort of like true crime royalty in a sense. You know, she is right up there with like the folks at Serial in the sense of these are the people who really have sort of broken through and established true crime podcasting, as it were. You know, unfortunately, she was a victim in this case, whereas, you know, the people talking on Serial for the most part weren't victims. They were, you know, journalists and things. But yeah, Deborah was really interesting. I think it was my all-time favorite interview. I mean, we talked a lot about what's called coercive control. And I don't know if you guys have talked about that much or how it even came through with the Bravo version. But it's basically the idea that, you know, people are, in a sense, controlling you in ways that you don't even know are happening. And Deborah, in retrospect, you know, hindsight is always 2020, saw this and was, and now she can speak about it. And luckily she's one of those few people that were able to get out of it alive and successfully and have a healthy life afterwards, because that's definitely not the case for everybody. But yeah, the conversation was really interesting. If you're interested in true crime, it was a good convo. You should check it out.
What did she think of Connie Britton?
She does talk. I did ask her that. I was like, what are your thoughts about when you found out that Connie Britton would be playing you in the Bravo show?
I mean, I would think that's the ultimate compliment.
Totally. That's pretty much what she said. Yeah. You'll have to go, if you're listening, go download the episode and see her response. Listen. But yeah, she was very flattered and couldn't believe it. She was a big Connie fan, she says, before. So it was like the ultimate dream for her to kind of, they've also become friends, so that was really nice.
Aww.
Yeah.
I want Juno Temple to play me in a movie.
I mean, that girl can play anything.
But
so,
didn't we, because for those who don't know, the three of us sit next to each other and are very good friends. I just want to make sure that the fourth wall is broken and people know that.
Yeah.
Because we've already discussed, Eric, your celebrity doppelganger is Ryan Gosling.
That is true.
That's who's going to play you in all the movies.
And yours is actually Tomlinson from One Direction.
Yeah, he used to look like him. And who's yours, Megan?
I have one for you,
who's
right?
Who's the one person? I always forget. Allison Brie, yes.
I get Allison Brie and Judy Greer.
Oh, Judy Greer. Are you Saoirse Ronan too? Was that one?
Yeah, I've gotten
all
her.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
all
right. You know.
So if anyone wants to make a movie of our lives, you know who to cast.
Exactly. Amazing.
Now I want to get into a topic I think we all know we're here to discuss.
Let's do it.
And that is the Tokyo trip on The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yes.
That's the main reason I'm here, guys. Yes.
I mean, John, you're a super fan.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about the season so far?
You know, it's been interesting because Kenya's not on this season, but I've always been a huge Kenya fan. And I also loved her dynamic with Sheree. So for them both to be off of the show this season is just, I started out like, oh no, I hope I still love it the way I've always loved it. And I will say, I've been proven right because I love this season. I was a little apprehensive about Shamari in the first episode because I was like, will I love her the way I've loved the others? You know, it's like all the, you know, the show's like your kid. You want to love all the friends that come along with it, you know? And she has been so fun. I absolutely love her relationship with Ronnie. I love those kids. Every time I see the kids, I'm like, if they're ever in this office, somebody needs to bring them to my desk because I want to hug the kids. Is that weird thing to say?
No, she didn't bring them when she came into town.
I was
going to
say,
she
was
disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah, but I have loved this season. I think it's definitely different from past seasons, but in a really good way, I would say.
Well, specifically, I want to talk about the bus ride in Tokyo.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, Eric has, you've said before, you're not sure Eva brings that Real Housewife energy all the time.
Yes.
I feel like she did on this bus ride.
She definitely showed a side that I've been waiting to see, I think, all season. Because I love, again, the editing in that scene, too, because it's like 204 and then it's like 225 and then it's like 246 and you're like, it's like, and yeah, she's still going in on Marlo.
I thought the same thing. I was like 10 minutes in, I'm like, are they still fighting about the same thing? And if you look at like Portia and some of the others in the background, they're like checking their phones, they're completely checked out of the conversation. And Eva's still yelling to Marlo and like pulling her braids out of her face. It's just so funny. I love it.
And the poor tour guide,
She did not
know what she was getting into.
I have that note as well.
I do love the tour guide in this episode, though, where she's just like, you know what? Yeah. I've had it. We're leaving now.
Like, it's 11:15. We're out the door. And Nini's like 2 minutes late. And it's like, nope.
I don't remember if it was the editing, but there was a scene in that van where somebody had a sick burn. I think it was Eva, because she was reading Marlo like crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
What runway, Marlo? You want to work for plus size?
No.
Stop. I don't know where you're
okay.
getting these plus size fashions from.
Oh my God, your mother.
Don't do that. Play with mommies with Shamari. Don't do that with me.
No,
I'm
don't
not
play
her.
With mommies with Shamari.
I'm not
Shamari
her. Don't do that.
Moms are off limits.
Marlo, you picked the wrong day to come for Eva.
No character. Looks like Eva.
Oh my God.
Ma'am,
it's not supposed to be basic.
Ma'am. Who's basic?
You're basic, darling. I just want 10 pounds off.
You need to let that girl live so she can let you live, honey, because she is killing your ass right now.
Marlo, I'm so sincere.
Okay, well, sit down then.
Don't do that. Baby, I can meet you on a block if you want to go. 78th and Normandy. So you want to fight? Let's go. Swing. I promise you I've worked out.
And then it like cuts to Aya, the tour guide, and she's like laughing hysterically. I'm like, did Aya even know what she just said? Like, come on. It was just so funny. It was, I'm like, Aya seemed very disconnected from that. And then the one like sick burn, she's laughing hysterically. I thought it was so funny.
She knows a good read when she hears
it. Yeah, apparently.
John,
yes.
Who do you think is a better dresser, Marlo or Eva?
Ooh,
I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean,
is it
Marlo? No, it's probably not. I mean, Eva has her own style.
Sure.
Marlo is more like, well, I don't know. This episode, she kind of did clap back with her subtle designer stuff, Eva, I'm talking about. But Marlo is very kind of in your face with her fashion, and I like that. But I think I would go with Eva. I feel like Eva. Yeah, I think Eva's more authentically herself and has subtle fashion that kind of works for her. I mean, how can you go against somebody who was America's Next Top Model? You know what I'm saying?
That's right. True. Yeah. But how do you feel about the fact she spent $1,200 on her flip-flops?
Candy said it perfectly. She was like, that's a little bit much to be doing like $1,200 flip-flops.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's a lot.
What if they break? Flip-flops break all the time.
I was just thinking that. I also lose flip-flops all the time. I don't know how that happens. Like, I don't know if it's like
the
beach.
Like on the subway?
On the subway, I like find myself walking home barefoot. I'm like, how did this happen? $1,200 flip-flops is a bit much. I agree.
And I feel like, you know, just given that everything that's going on, even with Eva and her grandfather and Nini, you know, with Greg, you know, the fact that they fought for an hour over like labels and designer clothes, like I was just kind of like, really? Can we just put this aside?
I'm very much in that boat as well, because this season they seem very obsessed with like the whole like labels and materialistic stuff. And like, of course, they to an extent have always been like that. That's what everyone I think loves about these shows. But this season in particular, I'm like, guys, okay, it's Chanel, it's fine. Like, let's keep moving, let's keep the show going, you know.
But it is also, I have to say, beautiful that they can put that aside.
I thought the same thing.
Like when Eva was upset and was like, I think I want to go home, like I don't know, everyone came to the room, including Marlo, and Eva said it the best when she was just like, how can you be so ugly evil. Can you be so evil but also so beautiful? Like, it's just like, okay, you're right. I mean, they always, especially the Atlanta ladies, are so good, I think, at setting that stuff aside. And when someone really needs support, they're there for each other.
Eric, have you read my notes? Because this is literally everything I have written down. Well, I completely agree.
We are very similar
in
a lot of ways.
We've been saying that for a while, for several years. No, and you know, the other thing too is, when you think back to previous seasons, I mean, for those of us who remember the Portia Kenya stuff from several seasons ago at this point, it's just nice to see the show has progressed and there's not so much sour negativity like that. I agree with you. I love seeing the camaraderie amongst them.
What do you think of Portia this season?
Portia is so funny because when she first started for me, because she was the, I guess, antithesis to Kenya, I often found myself siding with Kenya, but it seemed like once they got back together and were like at least friendly to each other, I started realizing that Portia was just trying to find her way onto the show and like just get comfortable with everybody. Now Portia is almost like a whole different person.
Oh,
she's
100%.
So,
yeah,
you know, and when they flash back to like those couple, even in this episode, those couple of moments where she's with her ex-husband and they're talking about like babies and marriage, I'm almost like, oh my God, I totally forgot Portia was almost a whole different person. So I'm loving the new, like, confident, giddy, happy Portia. And she was here in the office, when was that, about a year or two ago? And I met her in person. We talked for a minute. And she was so, so nice. And I was just, like, the biggest Portia fan. I really like her a lot.
Very gracious. Yeah, she was
great. Gracious is a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that really I did not like about this episode, I wanted to get your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So they're there for Eva's bachelorette party. They go to the red light district. Is it me or did we not see enough of that? They go to a karaoke room and that's it?
Well, yeah. And I think Candy says it pretty accurately, too. She's like, I was looking to go there for like inspiration for my like dungeon thing. You know, right. She's looking for the ladies in the window. I mean, the red light district in Tokyo is very different than the red light district in Amsterdam.
Like,
they're
yeah.
totally different.
How?
Yeah.
Well, I guess no,
well, this
there's no ladies in the window.
Yeah, this red light district seemed to be, like they said, Times Square. You know, yeah. Lots of bright fluorescent lights, where I feel like red light district in Amsterdam is a little more sultry and more about the sex type stuff.
Right,
and
yeah.
I agree with you. I didn't feel that in this either.
Yeah, like the karaoke you can do anytime, anywhere.
But they are ladies that do go out and stay out. So I feel like maybe we just didn't get to see it.
Yeah, I agree.
By the way, did you guys... all I kept thinking of was how much I wish I were Nene in this episode, because she ended up like not going to a few different things. And I'm like, how do these women have the energy to like go out like this all the time and be traveling? And God, Eva had her whole grandfather thing. I was like, I don't have the energy for this.
They always say it, though. They say the vacations are not relaxing. Like if you're how on could, a true yeah. vacation, you are reading on the beach.
Right.
Or taking a nap. You can't do that when cameras are around.
Yeah, they're technically working. The whole like competition thing they had indoors because it was raining. I was like, you could not wake me up on a vacation if it's raining. Like I will be sleeping the whole day.
I was exhausted just watching that little competition.
Yeah. That was a lot.
I did want to say, going back to Nene and how she's gotten like out of some of these events, my favorite part of the episode was when she was like back in her room and went to get into bed, and the producer tries to come in, and she's like, Marcus, get out of my room, Marcus.
Get out of my room. Marcus, get out of my room.
Get out of my room. She's like, no.
Yeah. Poor Marcus.
I know.
He was banned from her taxi ride and from her hotel room.
Uh-huh. I mean, props to him, because he is just working his butt off trying to keep those ladies in line, but Nene is not having it while she's in Tokyo.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, it was so funny when Portia mentioned that Nene was going to murder someone. I was like, this is the perfect episode for me to come on and be an expert of.
Okay, did y'all hear just how calm Nene was? Y'all go ahead. I'm good. Enjoy. She gonna murder one of us tonight. I can feel it.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Nene, you know, one of the other things I wanted to mention is that Nene in this season in particular, I think because of the Greg stuff, has really become... I don't want to say like the matriarch of the group, but she's been so much more calm in a sense. Nene in the past would have flipped the hell out about that whole thing with the car. This time she's just like, I'm going to go back to my room. I'm going to check Snapchat. Like, her life was fine. And I really appreciate that, because, you know, Nene had some seasons where it was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? She's so angry, it seemed like. So it was nice to kind of see her, you know, just be the, especially with the Eva stuff as well. She kind of just seems like the person who's diffusing the situations now. But yeah, that was a funny line by Portia. I really thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, Nene's picking and choosing her battles, which is
exactly
big. It's big.
Exactly. That's such a good way to put it, Eric.
I also have to give a shout out to my girl Shamari when she sang to her son. Oh, she was so beautiful.
I wrote down, like, I need to sing to Eric like this when he gets fussy. Just be like,
do.
Eric, Eric, everyone loves you.
You sound just like her.
And Megan's dropping her single on iTunes this weekend.
Yep.
Right up there with Melania's song, by the way. Yeah, she sang her kids right to sleep on FaceTime. I was like, this isn't even an edit. Like, they literally just fell asleep right on FaceTime. It's amazing.
It's the sound of her voice.
By the way, can we talk about her voice? I don't know that we have given that. I was not expecting her to win the competition with Candy, just because we all know Candy is, you know, the music person.
Right.
And Shamari comes in and sings His Eye Was on the Sparrow. And I was like, I rewound it a few times because I wanted to keep listening. I didn't realize she was that good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I had the CD single of 808, like, from Black. I love that song. I just didn't recognize that she was such a good singer.
Yeah, she's incredible.
Good for her.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't really get to talk about was Tanya really being still so sensitive over the comments Nene made. And you talked to her recently.
Yes, I had a conversation with her. She called in. We talked a little bit about the fight with Nene in Tokyo. I asked her about the hibachi room. I was so curious about that. We got a little bit of her perspective on Marlo and Marlo's fashion. And she talked a little bit about her professional life, too. So here's that interview. Tanya?
Hi, Eric.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for agreeing to chat with us. We're very excited.
Of course. Let's spill it.
Okay, let's do it. So the first thing I have to ask you about is the hibachi room. How did that happen? Where did it come from? What's the upkeep like?
Okay, the hibachi room. It's actually pretty amazing, and it's more useful than people think. Because you can find a lot of things to cook on a hibachi grill. But yeah, when Paul bought this house about 10 years ago, the basement was sort of half finished. So there was this concept of the hibachi room. It wasn't finished. And then the rest of it was kind of like a really interesting shooting range and shooting practice range. So you can imagine he was single back then. He was like, oh my gosh, this is the house of my single bachelor dreams, sold. And we actually took the shooting range out. The guy took all that stuff away and we finished the hibachi room. We put in a movie theater and a gym. There's a bar. We have a little dance floor area that we call it. So yeah, the hibachi room is pretty awesome.
Do you have like a chef on retainer? Do you use the same guy who comes over to cook?
So we don't have a chef on retainer. We have a couple that we kind of put through rotation. The one that we use most recently and we've used kind of frequently is from this really, great hibachi restaurant in town called Katana. There's one in LA as well. So we usually have them come, they bring everything, they do all the prep. When we did the hibachi night with the girls, they brought a bartender, a server. So we've kind of got the routine down pat.
That's very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. So I did also want to ask you, we just saw you and Nini get into a little situation in Tokyo. So can you elaborate on that? Maybe like share your side of the story there?
Yeah, okay. So Tokyo was amazing. And the episode that just aired, you know, kind of left it on a cliffhanger. So the timing is right. And basically, you know, we had gone to this temple, all the ladies had read their fortunes, and it really felt like very just auspicious to me, right? I got this fortune and I was reading it. It was just great. I had best fortune. But then, you know, behind me, I heard like Nini and Marlo being like, oh, wow, girl, maybe you'll marry Paul. Maybe you won't. Like, and it just felt like they were kind of like making a joke out of it, kind of chuckling, you know, behind my back. And I kind of likened it to, I explained like, you know, if you've got girlfriends and you've got friends or anything, like I want positive vibes only. So it's kind of like, imagine you were in college or something, you've been in college and you talk about how much you love college, graduation's coming, and someone's like, hey girl, maybe you'll graduate and maybe you won't. Like,
right.
That just felt odd to me. Like, why would your friend say that? So that's kind of where it came from. And I just wanted to like get it off my chest because I was like, well, why would you say that? And it exploded. Like, you saw that sushi restaurant, it went to 100 real fast.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how did you meet your fiance to begin with? Like, do you have any update on wedding plans?
Cool. I mean, I love this story. So you can, like, I mean, you should, I'm going to try and give you the long story short because, like, Eric, I'm a serious talker in case you have.
Okay.
But basically, I met Paul. I was in Los Angeles and I was on Rodeo Drive with my sister and we were shopping in Louis Vuitton and I saw this guy and he was just like super cute. Something about him, I just looked at him and I looked at my sister and was like, I love him. And she's like, what? Who? Like, he was like invisible to him. Like, our types are so different. And I was like, him, I love him. She was like, well, go talk to him. And I was really shy. I just was like, no, maybe he'll come and talk to me. And so I was like trying to kind of like wiggle my butt and bat my eyelashes. Like, maybe he'll notice me. And my sister ended up breaking the ice. And we all ended up going, because he had some friends with him in LA as well, for cocktails and drinks at, actually, turns out it's Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant, Villa Blanca.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I know, for like hours. And then at that time, I lived in New York and he lived in Atlanta. So about 5 days later, he came to New York to visit me. And that was kind of it.
Oh, my God. Who knew you could find love at Louis Vuitton?
I know. It was great. And now I look at it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's what, 7 years later? I'm like, it was kind of love at first sight.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, given your relationship and kind of, you know, the little spat with Nini, do you have any updates you can share on wedding plans?
I'm not letting those secrets out of the bag. You've got to, like, tune in as you get to know me more and watch the show. I think more will be revealed on that.
Okay, well, in that case, who do you think will get married first? You, Portia, or Cynthia?
Oh, my gosh. That is so interesting. Let's see. I don't know. Portia and I chat a little bit, and it might be a race to the altar on that. But I also think, Cynthia and Mike have been talking about marriage, and I could also see them doing some they've been married before. They might just do it. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Well, we'll have to see how that plays out.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a little bit too about your love of fashion. Where did that come from?
I guess if you really want to break it down, my dad and my parents have always been kind of baller fashionistas. I remember playing in my mom's closet when I was little, and now I recognize the brands and stuff. But at the time, you'd be like, oh, what's this? And you'd just be playing dress up and stuff. My dad never went to work without a suit. He had massive amounts of clothes and shoes. So I guess my family. Clothes are just such a fun way to express yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, this season we've seen some really, friendly competition between you and Marlo. What's your take on Marlo's style?
I mean, here's the thing. When we had that fashion competition, I'm uber competitive. even if they had put me in the model walk thing, I would have gone out there, and I cannot walk or smize or anything. I would have gone out there just trying to win. So I was going to win no matter what. I love it. Marlo and I, I love Marlo. She's so much fun. We share a lot of the same items and clothing, and you know what I mean? We'll come to go to a dinner. I'll be like, oh my gosh, Marlo, I just got that. It's the new hottest item. So we're very similar in our fashion tastes. It's just, we put stuff together in different ways, which I think is the essence of how everyone wears different items.
Absolutely. So in that case, what's your take on, say, Shamari's style?
Okay, Eric. So I do feel like Shamari's been getting it this season. People are like, Shamari, step it up. But she has stepped it up a lot. Obviously Shamari has a very different body than mine. She's a sample size. And so I would kill to get into some of those couture pieces that is obviously made for Shamari's frame. And I think Shamari's just been stepping it up. I also can't point any fingers because Shamari has twins and I am dying to have twins in my life. So I can't imagine what it's like taking care of two little twin babies and then worrying about, oh my gosh, what am I going to wear today? And how am I going to feed my kids?
Right.
It's a lot.
So going back a little bit to the Tokyo trip, we heard that after that from a couple of other ladies, I think Shamari and Candy mentioned there was an RHOA group chat that was spawned from that. So are you in that group?
Yeah, we had a housewives chat for a long time. And obviously, Marlo and I were in it. And there might be some others lurking around that I'm not on. I'm not sure.
But, I think Shamari mentioned there were some there were some side groups going on as well.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, guys, did I get kicked off the island for some reason here? I don't know what's happening.
Well, is there anyone you want to put on do not disturb in that group chat?
No, I love a text. Honestly, I prefer text to a phone call any day. And I'm probably guilty of over emojiing. So they probably would put me on pause before I put anyone on pause.
Well, that's fair. Did you watch Real Housewives of Atlanta before you joined or any of the other Housewives franchises?
Oh, yeah. Before I moved to Atlanta, I lived in New York. So I will have to say that I watched New York on and off for years, because I think most people have seen a Housewives, franchise somewhere along the line. And then I've watched Atlanta. I love Beverly Hills. I love Potomac. So it's just kind of your guilty pleasure. Everyone's seen a little bit of something.
Definitely. So you came in through NeNe. Did she give you any advice before you started filming?
Ooh, she did. She was actually really good, because it's a different world, especially from what I'm used to. And it's reality television. So I kind of was like a sponge. Anything she would tell me, I'd be like, uh-huh, okay, all right. One of the things that I think she told me that I really took to heart, she was like, get to know all the girls individually, for who they are. And, kind of make friendships with each one of them. And I'm super friendly. The girls kind of laugh at me because I'm the type of person that comes in. I'm like, you're all my friends. We're all friends. Kumbaya.
and that's not always the case.
No, that is not always the case. And so I think that was kind of funny for them. Candy sometimes used to laugh at me. She'd be like, oh gosh, Tanya loves everybody. And I was like, but I do.
Well, what were some of your first impressions of the ladies, like when you started being introduced to everyone?
So let's see, you know, I'd met Eva a couple times before, because our husbands had done, you know, a small amount of business together. They went to Morehouse, and Eva and I, you know, I feel like we had an easy bonding situation because she's, you know, she's also not from Atlanta. She's from Cali. I'm Canadian. And so I feel like our vibes were kind of similar. Candy, I just had like so much respect for her. Like, she's just such a boss, and she's made, you know, so many interesting businesses. Anyone that can sell, like, you know, thousands of vibrators across the country, I just think that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and Cynthia's just super sweet. We've had a great time this season just because, you know, bonding over similar interests. She's starting a wine shop, and I really love wine, and I know a lot of wines. So, you know, we got to spend some good time talking about things like that. And Shamari's a blast. Like, honestly, Shamari's so much fun. Like, if you want to go out and have a good time and just laugh and it's just easy peasy, you call Shamari. Like, for sure. And like I said, Marlo's funny. Like, Marlo's just also a good time in a very different way. So I feel like I've had really good times with all the ladies. Am I forgetting anyone? Because that's not good.
I think that's pretty good. I mean, in terms of, like, any of the alums, like Kenya or Kim or Phaedra, have you met any of them?
No, not really. Like, we've been at events together, baby showers or like the mayor's ball. So, you know, the circles in Atlanta are kind of small, but I haven't spent like QT with any of those ladies.
Got it. So going back to Eva a little bit, there's been some conversations recently about her shadiness. Do you feel like Eva is shady, or do you think she's just misunderstood?
So, good question. I don't feel like she's shady. I also think, like, sometimes the definition of shady is different for every person, right? And I think that, like, you know, this show requires everyone to kind of say some sort of comments every once in a while and call people out on it. So I don't think Eva's intention is ever to be mean or, like, you know, throw knives in someone's back. But I just think the girls want what the girls were saying is they're like, we want you to own it and say it and say you're shady. And Eva's like, no, I'm not being shady. I'm not being mean. I'm just making jokes.
Right. Right. I see that.
I don't know. It's interesting. Cause I just think everyone's definition of shady is different.
That's true. What's your definition of shady?
Well, I feel like now that I've spent enough time with this group of ladies, it's kind of changed and I have a way better definition. I've kind of had to, like, in the past, I would say I would bite my shade tongue a lot more. And I just, it was like the type of person that would be like, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Now I'm a little bit more vocal and I'll, like, just say the things that are, like, running through my internal dialogue. So I feel like it's just a little, like, light-handed poke at someone, you know?
Well, that's what reality TV will do, right?
Oh my gosh, let me tell you.
So speaking of your journey into reality television, you've had a really diverse career so far, from nursing to tech, and now you're in reality TV. What's the hardest part of transitioning through those different kind of career paths?
You know, you just have to have a little bit of courage and no fear, because they're so different. And I'm getting better at that, because there's always a part of me that's like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing here. And like, this is so different. Is there a rule book? Is there a manual? Like, I really like rules in a manual, but I'm just getting better at just kind of YOLOing it and being like, just try it. See if you like it. Just go with it. You know, fake it till you make it sort of thing, and just make up the rules as you go along.
Right. Well, that's great. So, like, I feel like the tech space is a very male-dominated space. So as a woman and a woman of color, what was that experience like getting involved in that industry?
Really interesting. And, you know, it took a long time. You know, when you first start off, then I would have people come up to me and be like, oh, excuse me, do you know where the Starbucks is? Or, are you ordering lunch? because the automatic assumption was perhaps you're a female and maybe you're someone's admin, or, you know, you could help me find the bathroom because that might have been your role in this organization, because, you know, women weren't always necessarily the top dogs. Mm-hmm. So I think that is changing a lot now, and people are starting to see a lot more diversity, a lot more women, and accepting of that. But it's been interesting for sure. It's one of those things that I personally wrestle with because, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard this in this expression of imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to like be doing your job and be doing it well. And it's another thing to have like this little voice inside of you being like, oh my gosh, no one's, you know, you don't know what you're doing. You don't have a PhD here. Like, everyone's going to find out that, you know, you don't. And that's not really what it's about. It's about doing your job and learning as you go and, you know, making sure that you put out the best work effort that you can. And so I just like to represent that for more and more women, because otherwise, if they don't see that sort of representation on TV, I feel like we're less likely to take chances and take risks in our career paths.
Absolutely. That's amazing. I think you have another shot at like being a motivational speaker for your next career choice.
Oh my gosh, you are too kind.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you calling in for this interview. And I'm going to be coming to Atlanta. Schedule me in for hibachi because I need to hit up that table.
Oh my gosh, please make it happen. And, you know, we don't always have to do hibachi. Sometimes I say the best nights, you go out and party in Atlanta and then you end up back at our house. And we are doing like Waffle House eggs and greasy breakfast to soak up all that alcohol stomach at 3 a.m. on the hibachi grill. And then it's a dance party.
That sounds like a dream.
It is so much fun.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Tanya. And congratulations on the season. And we're looking forward to see how the rest of it plays out.
Thank you. This was so much fun. Bye, Eric.
Bye, Tanya.
Okay, it's time for Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Eric, what was your rose this week?
So my rose was Laura and Ashton finally having sex on Below Deck.
You've been waiting.
I have been waiting. And, you know, at first Laura was like a little bumpy when she came in. She and Kate were butting heads. But through the whole thing, I kind of really did end up really liking Laura. And I liked the sort of kind of dynamic that they had. You know, we spoke last week about like Tyler and Riley and them like kind of not being on the same page, but I feel like Ashton and Laura always kind of managed to stay on the same page, so I was just waiting for it to finally happen. And if it's going to happen, it's going to be on the last night you're on the boat, so props to them. What about you?
My rose is that the Real Housewives of New York City Super Tease came out and everyone is finally able to watch it. Also, we did a bonus episode just talking about the Super Tease. So if you haven't listened to it, go back, listen to that bonus ep. It's worth it. John, our special guest, what is your rose?
My rose is for Marlo being there for Eva. I thought that was a really sweet moment. We kind of just talked about it. But like Eric said, I really like the camaraderie of the group and how they all show up for each other. I don't watch many of the other Housewives franchises, but I feel like this particular group, they get it right every time. So shout out to Marlo.
And to Marlo's wig.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. It almost fell off a couple times. She kept it going.
Eric, what's your thorn?
So my thorn is also actually from Atlanta. It's the karaoke segment, because I think I've been pretty vocal to you guys in the past about how, as much as I love musicals, like I love music, like the whole thing, karaoke is just not my thing. It just makes me so uncomfortable. And then, you know, they're all in there. And then especially if you're with like Candy and Shamari, like, you know, those two are the singers of the group. So they're going to try to, and then, you know, Candy's hitting her like high note and like, you know, so I was just sort of like, it just triggered me. And all of the times I've been to karaoke and just like really not enjoyed the experience.
You're going with the wrong folks, Eric.
I guess
obviously,
so.
Megan just sang for you, so I don't know. Right. We all need to go out together and do it.
It's true. All right, well, what was your thorn, Megan?
Okay, so my thorn is also from Real Housewives of Atlanta. It's when Nene makes the girls take off their shoes before they come into her hotel room.
I forgot.
Because Nene, it's a hotel room. There is semen everywhere.
Oh, Megan really had to take it there.
It's true. Get a black light in there and you'll realize shoes are the least of your problems.
I would typically agree with you, but in Japan, I feel like Japan is so strict about Well, also, they're just, the culture is just amazing. You know what I'm saying? So I would agree with you if it wasn't Japan.
I know. It's so clean there. Like, yeah. When they have them in the streets, like, it does not look like New York City.
I was like, you know? I wish our Times Square looked like this, because it is not like that. It's way dirtier here.
But it is weird. It's one thing to be like, please take your shoes off before you come into my, like, house. Home, but, like, right. My hotel room.
Come on.
Really? Mm. I don't know. John, what was your thorn?
Well, get ready for this. My thorn goes right back to Marlo. Ooh, that's right. Wow. You're getting a rose and a thorn, Marlo. And my comment is about how she just needs to chill, because a lot of those comments that she was making towards Eva, not just this episode, but this whole season, it's like with the wedding dress, she needs to lose 10 pounds. Like, that kind of stuff. I know that's Marlo, by the way. I know that's, like, what she's good at. But it's starting to make it seem like she's sort of has a thing against Eva. And it's just like, come on. Especially, you know, she's going to be going through a lot now with the grandfather stuff. Take a step back, Marlo.
Are you particularly referencing the, like, you have two babies by two different
men?
Yes,
the whole van segment. I mean, yeah. That whole thing was a bit too, it was, you were punching a little too low in my opinion.
Right, right. Yeah. And then the next night they're like fine.
And then they're
other.
Best friends and they're walking down the hallway together. Exactly.
Well, John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for
coming.
Thank
you.
Everyone, go listen to Martinis and Murder. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts.
And I think we're putting a link to our Facebook group on your guys' episode. So feel free to click into that and come see what we're doing. And it's a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. Anytime, John.
All right. See ya.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
The girls with me, with the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.